Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm Keith.
I'm Zach, and it's Let's Talk About Christianity, Keith.
It is. We made that change, what, how many months ago?
A while. It's been a while.
I don't like change.
Nobody does.
Nobody does, but here's the funny thing about that is I really have just come to realize that I don't like change.
You've not found this out over the course of your life?
No.
Really?
It's a very recent discovery.
You're a late bloomer.
Been hanging around Steve Trimble too much.
You have been hanging around Steve Trimble a little bit too much.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is episode number 41.
You're on the ball.
41. I just looked it up.
I just want to commend you on how much you've been on the ball lately with that.
Yeah, I haven't had to look it up while we were going.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very cold this morning.
Yeah.
So we're still stuck in my office. Speaking of which, hang on just a second. Let me make one little change. Say something to the nice folks while I'm...
Well, the weather's really made me look stupid with my request a couple weeks ago about us going back to Pavilion 4 in 2 weeks. I said in a couple weeks we should be able to go back to Pavilion 4. Tuesday, it was a blizzard.
Yes, and...
I was wrong. I jumped the gun way too early, and I was wrong. I'll admit it. I'm man enough to admit it. I'm wrong.
But this too shall pass. Spring is around the corner. I really think, you know, it was snowing.
We say that, we'll get another blizzard.
It was snowing this morning. I don't know. I think we're done. I think that was the last snow in the forecast for the early part of 2018.
It was a good one, but then it melted off in like 4 hours. It was gone in 4 hours.
Yes.
And it snowed a little yesterday, too.
And it was snowing this morning.
Yep.
But I think we're done with the snow for this spring.
I'm glad.
That's my prediction. I think we're done.
I love fall and winter, but I'm ready for spring.
But now, yesterday afternoon, did you get caught in the snow squall yesterday afternoon?
Yes, I did. I went to Walmart.
Were you like outside during it?
No, I was walking. As soon as it hit, we got out of the vehicle to walk into the store, and I walked in the store, and I've got snow all over me.
Like, yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was.
I kind of enjoyed it. But even though I was standing outside in it. But
yeah.
So, couple things to remind you of as we get started with this episode. Contact information. My email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
That's K-E-I-T-H. And I'm Zach, Z-A-C-H, @letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And, of course, the letstalkaboutchristianity.com, that is our website. We have our blog. We have the podcasts.
We got all kinds of cool stuff.
You can, of course, download the podcasts on
iTunes. Yes, we're on iTunes.
And then, of course, on the radio station on WGWD 98.3 FM.
Every Friday morning at 9 a.m.
And then Tuesday evenings at what time do we air on Tuesday?
Like 8.
8, I think. 8.
Sometimes.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Just wherever you can fit it in on Tuesday evenings.
Yeah.
Into the radio schedule.
But, yes, we, and then, of course, Facebook and something new, Instagram.
Yeah, we have an Instagram. We're trying to get Insta-famous. Keith's going to start posting some selfies on there.
I definitely don't know about that.
In all seriousness, we post our daily verses of encouragement that also goes on Facebook.
Yes.
And we were going to start posting some of our promo videos once it starts getting warm outside and we can record some promo videos. Because right. I know all of our listeners miss our promo videos.
And it's just too cold to do promo videos right now.
And, well, we're some other cool videos maybe on there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. You should follow
it
if you have Instagram.
We're going to come out with some cool new content for the Instagram.
The username is @LTACPodcast, L-T-A-C podcast is the username for that.
So you can go to Instagram and search for us there and join the dozens of subscribers that we have.
We actually are getting, we're up to 21 now.
Wow.
And we've only had 3 days.
Okay, so I just lied. It's not dozens. It's like a dozen and a half.
Almost two dozen.
Yeah. So please go to Instagram and help us break that. You know, that glass ceiling of
right.
24 followers.
Right.
So, want to remind you also of Oath. And
as we do every week, but it's so important that we have to remind you every week. We probably should do two.
Two reminders.
Or we could do a radio promotion, Keith, and air it.
We need to do a radio promo. We do. That's coming up in July. It will be here before you know it.
Yes, it will.
And we hope that you will make plans to attend Oath. And
just give it one more little spill.
Okay.
Lonnie Jones, Kyle Butt, Lori Boyd, all kinds of Rob Kernodle. Great, great speakers that you are going to be blessed to hear. I mean, these guys are fantastic.
It is going to be a very good event, and we are looking forward to it. Okay, so last week, we're not rambling as long as usual.
No.
Last week, I made mention of Bradford Pears.
Oh, wow. We're going straight to the main topic. I thought you were going to say, well, last week, this happened to me at this time, but we went straight to Bradford Pears.
My life is boring, so let's...
Your life's not boring, Keith.
Just move on. But, yeah, I mentioned Bradford Pears, and I actually had somebody come up to me, I think it was on Monday, it may have been Sunday night after church, and they were like, hey, I thought you were going to preach about Bradford Pears, and I'm like, no, that's on the podcast. It'll be next Friday.
And then your heart warmed, and you said, you listen.
Well.
You pay attention.
That was not Sunday. Although this Sunday, I'm excited about this Sunday sermon. I really am.
That's good.
This year, our theme, I said we were done rambling, and here we go. No, we're not done. This year, our theme overall is confidence in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this Sunday, we're going to have another confidence sermon following that
theme. I love
theme.
Confidence sermons. They're uplifting.
Yes, they're supposed to be uplifting.
I just want to warn you right now, my fourth Sunday sermon is not going to be about confidence.
Hey, fourth Sunday is like next Sunday, isn't it? A week from Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think.
Okay, I'm glad you reminded me because that'll work out well for me anyway, schedule-wise. But anyway, I'm going to preach about confidence in Christ, particularly confidence in His Word.
Mm. That'd be a good one.
And yes, I know, and I don't want to give away my introduction, but you may be thinking, oh, great, another sermon on the Word
mm-hmm.
of God. And you know what? I hope that you'll be here Sunday for that sermon because I want it to be a special one.
Yeah.
And then, I got distracted there talking about confidence in Christ. Do you have a topic for your sermon next Sunday yet?
I do. I wrote a blog post a while back about seed principle, but I'm going to preach a sermon about seed principle. I think it'll be
okay
about seed principle and, you know, if where your heart is at to accept the seed of God.
You preaching Sunday morning or Sunday evening?
Sunday morning. Yeah.
Okay. See, that's good information to have. That's going to work out well for me. But anyway.
You get to sit with your wife too, Keith.
So, no, I did not preach on Bradford Pears, but we mentioned Bradford Pears and the fact that they are now considered an invasive species.
Hmm.
And, you know, with it being spring and you look out and you see all of those white blooms. Of course, on Monday, everything was white.
Right.
Very beautiful there for the hour before it all melted away.
Yeah, well, especially after the roads melted away, too. The only thing you could see was snow in the mountains. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it was actually really pretty. Mm-hmm. I took some videos, but for some reason, my phone won't let me share anything now.
You have the worst luck with technology.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, give the phone a break. It's, you know.
It does its job.
It's almost 3 years old, so, yeah. You know, I've held out.
You've done well.
But anyway, Bradford Pears, why do I keep getting distracted? An invasive species. Now, who would think something so pretty blooming on the hillsides in the spring could be an invasive species?
And well, I look these things up, and they are beautiful trees. Beautiful.
They are beautiful trees, mm-hmm. Although they have fallen out of... fashion for a number of reasons, and that's, you know, kind of what I was.
Go ahead. Yeah,
yeah, this is like one big long continuous segue.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very strong.
Okay.
And so when they get a load on them, like a lot of snow.
Uh-huh.
They tend to break limbs very easily, and so you've got falling limbs, right, and this and that. The shape, they just kind of grow the way they want to grow.
Yeah, there's no definite shape to these. Like, no. It's just kind of everywhere.
But they were introduced in, do you know when they were introduced to the United States?
I do not know the fun facts.
You're sitting there Googling.
I did Google, but I don't know.
1960.
Oh, okay.
Through the University of Maryland, of all places. And really? They were, you know, that at the time they were introduced as being a, you know, hey, this is just a beautiful tree. It mm-hmm. you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not going to reproduce, they said. Guess
they said.
What? Yes. it's reproducing wildly. And the offspring of these Bradford pears is actually weaker than the original trees. And so, you know, you've
so they
just
keep
got,
getting weaker and weaker.
Yes. And so you've got a very weak tree. A lot of them have spikes on them, thorns.
Okay.
And then they're not good for bugs. I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah. But if they're not good for bugs, then they're not good for the birds that eat the bugs. And, you know, so
this tree's really going downhill. I mean, it's got a lot of problems. This tree does.
Yes, it is
causes
actually
a lot of havoc.
It is actually affecting bird populations.
That's insane.
It is. And it, like I said, it was introduced in 1960, supposed to be, you know, just this perfect ornamental tree.
Right.
And, did I mention they stink?
No.
The odor that they produce is not attractive, shall we say.
Do they produce a pear, like a fruit?
No.
Odor? It's just...
No, it's an ornamental tree.
Oh,
okay. But it is another one of those species that is not indigenous, I had to throw that word in,
right,
to the United States. This is actually a tree that came from China.
And it was introduced here.
Introduced insane. Here, and now it's everywhere in the South and just causing problems.
But
it was
originated in Maryland.
In Maryland.
How'd it get to the South?
People planted them.
And they went and got them. Because they're such beautiful trees.
Yes. But, you know, you have something that is supposed to be ornamental. It's supposed to be just, you know, attractive.
Right.
And now it's an invasive species. It started out so well, you know,
mm-hmm.
and now an invasive species. And, you know, you go to almost any state agriculture website, and they're going to recommend you do not plant these trees. How do things become so invasive? How do they, you know, lose their appeal and their attractiveness in such a way? It's just kind of crazy the way that works. Now, having said that, so it's not a very good segue. But,
right.
You know, just kind
well,
of
I can
the,
see where you're going with it.
Can you? Because
I can.
Now we're going to the Book of Numbers.
I can. I could see a light at the end of the tunnel. Now I can't.
Yeah.
Into the tunnel.
I didn't say it was a good segue.
Right.
Just keep the Bradford pear in the back of your mind.
Okay, I'm thinking.
Okay, so we go to Numbers 20.
Numbers 20.
You know, Moses was a pretty good guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Moses is a pretty good guy. I mean, you think of all that he did. And when I'm teaching Bible class here at the preschool at church, I always talk about Moses' staff. And all the different things that he did with his staff.
He did a lot of things with his staff.
He did a lot of things with that stick. He parted the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it into a snake.
Right.
You know, he struck a rock. He stretched it out over the Nile River and turned the river into blood.
Mm-hmm.
Struck a rock and brought forth water at the command of God. I want to throw that in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did all these things with this stick.
Wooden stick. All it was.
Just a stick.
Just a stick.
But, you know, he did great things with this stick. And one of these days I'm going to preach a sermon on Moses stick and, you know, go okay. through all these things that he's done, but not this week. So we come to Numbers 20, and we find the people murmuring again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we find them irritable. We find them grumpy. They're not happy at all. And
it's like the seven doors.
Well, you know, you look. Yeah, well, they were all the you know, the they possessed all of the bad personality characteristics.
Right.
You know, at one time or another. You look in the books of Exodus and Numbers in particular, Leviticus to some degree, and over again, you find the people not happy.
Yeah.
Now, what...
They're very discontent in that book.
Yes, they were. What makes you not happy?
Well, if you're experiencing things that you don't want to go through,
okay.
some tumultuous times.
Tumultuous times.
That's a I good like word.
That was a good
That's
word.
That's a good word.
Good way to throw that. Okay, bonus points for Zach.
I'm writing a little mark on the wall.
What else makes you not happy?
Well, things aren't going your way. That's tumultuous times. Let's see. What else?
You don't get your way.
You don't get your way, yeah. That can be a big one.
Yes. A lot of people get not happy because they don't get their way, and that's a little bit different from right. things not going your way,
mm-hmm.
Because sometimes things don't go your way, but it's not that you didn't get your way. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
when your needs... are right. not met.
Ooh, that's a good one.
When you have genuine needs.
Why can I not think of that?
So I don't know, because you're not reading my notes, for one thing.
No.
I didn't send my notes to you because
thanks for sharing.
My phone won't let me share things.
Sharing
right now.
Is caring.
So when your needs are not met. Now, when we talk about needs, you know, what are we talking about when we talk about needs?
Well, food, water, shelter. Mm-hmm.
Those are the three basic primary needs that everyone has. Then we could add, and some might say, you know, well, we need companionship, things like that. There are some people that would prefer not to have companionship.
There are some
people, for whatever
reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so...
Those are kind of bonuses.
You can live without companionship.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot live without food, water, and shelter.
It's true.
You know, breaking that down into necessities as opposed to companionship's kind of on the fence there between needs and wants.
I mean, if you didn't have companionship, you'd kind of have to have like a volleyball like in Castaway where you could talk to it. Wilson?
Yeah. that was a very random...
I know. It was on my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway,
when your needs are not met, well, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They've got food at this point, but they don't have water. And so what do they begin to do? They begin to get irritable.
We want water. They start chanting.
And when I don't know if they chanted, but, you know, they...
In my mind, they chanted.
Numbers 20 and verse 2, now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. When people began to get irritable, what do?
They turn on each other.
They begin to complain. They turn on each other. They grumble. Mm-hmm. They murmur. Things just don't go well.
Right.
Did you know that complaining is contagious?
Yes, it's almost like, what was the other one, yawning?
We hadn't gotten there yet.
We haven't got there yet, but okay, we'll get there.
Contagious, irritability.
Yep.
Complaining.
Complaining is contagious. Bad.
These things are an invasive species in our lives as Christians.
Whoa. There's your segue to Bradford Parish.
Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you?
So it took you just about 20 minutes to get there, but you got there.
So... Complaining is well, I don't know. I don't think some people have to be irritable to complain. I think some people naturally
Some people
complain.
Just like to complain.
They like to complain.
They're never content with anything.
But, you know, it's very easy to complain when everybody around you is complaining.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
you almost feel
like... You feel left out if you don't complain when everybody else is complaining.
A sense of peer pressure.
Peer pressure. That's a big one.
Yes. Hey, didn't God tell his people back in the book of Exodus, Exodus 23 and verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil? He did tell them that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Do not follow a crowd to do evil. It's very easy to get in that crowd, though.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the sudden, now, I want to point out that they had a need that was not met at that point in time.
Water is a big need.
It is a very big need. But they weren't trusting in God.
They didn't trust that he would provide it for them.
What did they do? They turned against Moses and Aaron.
And they wanted it now.
And it spread.
It did spread.
And here's what I mean by that. God told Moses on this occasion, go back to the rock. I don't know if it was the same rock or not. It may have been a different rock. But
it don't matter.
Go to the rock and speak to the rock. Now, speaking isn't quite as dramatic as taking your stick and hitting the rock. But right. I think Moses was a little bit irritable at this point. The complaining of all of the people
got to him.
May have started getting to him a little bit. And that's kind of amazing because you see Moses as being this extremely patient individual with these people, you know, for all of these years. But
all the things that he went through with them, you'd have to have some sort of patience. You know what I mean?
On a number of occasions, Moses intervened to God on behalf of the people.
Right.
God was ready to destroy them.
He was
kind of
like their little representative almost.
Yes,
yeah.
He was their advocate. But now Moses is getting a little irritable. The irritability of the people has spread to him.
It's contagious.
It is contagious. And Moses made a very poor decision on this occasion because God said, speak to the rock, and Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And, you know, as you read the account here, in verse 10 of Numbers 20, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Where was God in this equation?
Equation.
You know, we pointed out a minute ago, their needs were not met.
Mm-hmm.
What were they supposed to do? Trust in God.
That's all they had to do.
I mean, God has provided for them for 40 years.
He let them out of Egypt.
And, you know, all of their needs have been met by God.
Part of the Red Sea, everything.
Everything has been met by God. And now Moses says, must we bring water for you out of this rock? And he lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And the water came out abundantly.
I think they were grateful, very grateful for all the things that he had done to them over the years.
Actually, this is now about Moses.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because the irritability has spread like an invasive species into the life of Moses, and it leads God to tell them in Numbers 20 and verse 12, because you did not believe me. All of a sudden, this is going back on Moses and Aaron. Did the people trust in God? Not on this occasion. Nope. If they had, then they wouldn't have turned against Moses and Aaron to begin with. Did Moses and Aaron trust in God? Well, they did, but not the way that God
wanted them to trust.
Wanted them to trust in him. And they really sort of took the glory off of God and put it on themselves. Were they irritable? Yes, they were.
They were a little irritable. Irritable.
An invasive species.
Creeps into our lives, Keith.
When we allow these things to creep into our lives, we run the risk of making decisions that are not the best that,
right,
you know, could, mm-hmm, could be made. And, you know, we talked about some of these different things, not having your needs met, not getting your way. Sometimes you just don't feel good.
Right.
I know that I'm still hearing of people coming down with the flu. You know, we've been dealing with the flu since, what, November?
A long time, 4 or 5 months.
And sadly, this is usually, if I'm going to get sick, this is getting to the time of year when I'm going to come down with it. And I don't
stay away from me. You stay away from me.
But I want everybody with the flu to stay away from me. But
I always get the fall cold and the spring cold. And sometimes I get sick during the summer. But the fall and spring are always definites for me.
Yeah.
Allergies.
So how did we get to talking about the flu? Sometimes you just don't feel good.
There you go. You found it.
And when you don't feel good, you know, you're kind of opening the door for irritability and, mm-hmm, for complaining and for these things that will come into your life and invade your life and not produce good fruit.
There we go. Let's stop right there and let's go to our verse of encouragement for today. And I found it.
Okay.
I found one. Today's verse of encouragement comes from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. And this says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Now, this verse of encouragement kind of goes to our little lesson. I mean, it doesn't go with it perfectly, but it does relate to it in a way.
Okay.
Especially the first verse, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean on not on your own understanding. Do you think the people trusted in the Lord at that point in time when they didn't have water?
No, they didn't.
They did not trust in the Lord.
They had they were very nearsighted in what they were able to see.
And that distrust led to discord among the people.
Oh, wow. Are you going to alliterate this?
I am. Okay. This distrust led to discord among the people.
Okay, distrust, discord.
And then that discord led to, I lost it.
Discouragement.
Discouragement of Moses and Aaron, correct?
Yes. Yes, it did.
And then that discouragement led to, what's another dis word?
Can you give me a minute to think about it?
Probably. I can.
Okay. We can come up with another dis word, I'm sure. But hey, let's read on there in Proverbs 3.
Okay.
You read verses 5 and 6. Trust, mm-hmm, in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
There's so much stuff in these
verses. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Oh, wow.
See, we just tied the flu back into that.
We did. So, yeah. We did.
Yeah.
Everything ties together.
You know, we think of this trusting in God. Well, let me just say this. It is so easy, mm-hmm, for us to be guilty of the same things that the children of Israel were.
Oh, yeah.
Very nearsighted outlook and approach.
Very selfish outlook and approach.
Well, yes. And only think of ourselves and only think of what is right in front of us, mm-hmm, at that point in time. The children of Israel, and, you know, I kind of make it a joke with the preschoolers when, because I've been teaching this section to the preschoolers here lately, but you know, I kind of make it a joke with it. You got to start small with the preschoolers,
you do,
right?
You got to break everything down to its basics.
You get some words that preschoolers may not be familiar with, and,
right,
and so you want to try to teach them some principles. But I always start out by asking them, you know, God led them into the wilderness. Well, what's in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing, mm-hmm, is in the wilderness.
Right.
And you know, I was quizzing them yesterday, and I just happened, you know, what's in the wilderness? And they all went, nothing. And I'm like, yes, we got that one point. That's one.
I'm so happy.
So even though, you know, really it's trivia, but it's not trivia.
It doesn't matter.
It's not trivia.
It's not trivia.
Because God led them into the wilderness. What's in the wilderness?
Nothing.
Why did God lead them to a place where there was nothing? They had to rely upon God.
Yep.
They had to trust in God. God was going to provide for them, but they had to have that faith in God. We go through life, and I'm not just talking about those basic essentials that we mentioned a moment ago, the mm-hmm. food, the water, the shelter. Do we have to trust in God for those things? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
If we don't trust in God for those things, how are we going to trust in God for more important things?
Spiritual things.
Forgiveness, mm-hmm. redemption, atonement, sanctification, forgiveness. But
you can't go halfway with trust. You either trust someone or you don't trust someone.
Right.
You know, I either trust you or I don't trust you, and there is no halfway. I don't half trust you. You can't half trust someone.
Right.
Because trust is being almost vulnerable to somebody. You have to try. If you trust someone, you trust that person is going to provide for you, that person is going to do certain things that you have held expectations for.
Let's go back to Monday earlier in this week.
It all started last Thursday. Anyway, Thursday.
Week. Not this week. Was it? No, it was Sunday. Sorry, Sunday. Sunday was a gorgeous
Sunday day. Sunday morning or evening?
Well, all day.
All day long.
It was just gorgeous.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody was like, was that Monday? I don't know. What day was it that was just so beautiful, but they were forecasting snow?
That was Sunday.
That night. That was Sunday. And, okay. So.
We got it.
You know, they're forecasting snow for that night. And I had several people made the comment, you know, it's 60 degrees out here. We're not worried about snow.
Throw that hand.
Throw your hand out there. No snow. But the weatherman kept saying, snow.
It's coming.
Snow's coming. Now, is it easier to trust the weatherman when he says snow is coming, when it is 60 degrees, or when it is 28 degrees and the skies are overcast and...
Well, it's easier to trust the weatherman when it's 28 degrees, but nobody trusts the weatherman anyway. Nobody trusts the Weather Channel, so it don't matter.
Bad example.
Yeah, nobody trusts anybody.
No, actually, in the weather business. It's a pretty good example, though, because we, for some reason, want to not put any more faith in what God has said than we do in what the weatherman has said.
Yep.
And we look at our lives, and God has told us He will provide.
Mm-hmm.
We look at Matthew chapter 6, the latter half of that chapter. It's the whole basic theme of that chapter is the latter half there is verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added mm-hmm. unto you. What's he been talking about? Food, water, shelter, the basic right. necessities of life. God has made that promise that He will provide those things. Okay, so is it easier to trust that God will provide those things for us when, using the drawing from some of the parables, you know, when mm-hmm. our barns are full or when we're in the middle of a drought?
Mm. It's easier to trust when the barns are full, but then you still got to extend that trust.
Is it? Because the rich farmer there in that parable, he said, look at all that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And God said, you fool.
Right.
This night, your life will be required of you. I submit that it is easier to trust in God when we know that we need God.
But my point is, I think a lot of people just trust in Him when things are going good. When things go bad, people start losing trust. And
I look at it the other way.
And I don't know why it's like that. But in throughout the Bible, like we've mentioned, you know,
I get what you're saying.
God has provided for people throughout the Bible.
Yes.
And there's so many different examples but it's not come at the time that they wanted it. You know, it's not right. instant gratification.
Right.
It's more delayed gratification.
So that works both ways. It's easy to trust in God when you don't have any needs.
Yes.
But it should also be easy to trust in God.
Yes, it should.
When we do have those needs. But here's why some people struggle with that is because they may say, you know what, God, I have this need, but they may not be able to see how that need is going to be filled. And this is kind of the opposite of instant gratification that you were talking about. But some people, you know, they want to know exactly, and using this example, exactly what they're going to have for dinner next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to know that food is going to be there and that it's going to be ready and that it's going to be since we're throwing big words out today, a sumptuous feast. You know,
one mark for Keith.
I thought that was two marks because I used indigenous earlier also.
But indigenous isn't that big of a word.
Oh, indigenous. It's four syllables.
It doesn't matter.
Give me the point.
All right. Two for Keith. All right. One for Zach. So, I'm going to have to throw out a big word here in a minute.
So, the children of Israel, God leads them into the wilderness. What's in the wilderness?
Nothing.
Nothing. They're supposed to trust in God. God led them into the wilderness to show them that they could trust in Him.
Mm-hmm.
But they never did. They never did get it. He gave them food. He gave them water. Mm-hmm. They went those 40 years in the wilderness. Their clothing didn't wear out. Their shoes on their feet didn't wear out. He provided everything that they needed for them, and they still didn't get it.
And why? Because of invasive species.
Well, I don't know if that's why they didn't get it.
I was trying to make a good point.
But when they didn't get it, invasive species were able to come in more easily.
So do you want to spend the last 19 minutes talking about invasive species in our life and our Christianity?
Sure. That's a great idea.
All right.
Why didn't I think of that?
I don't know. I just stole your idea. You did think of that.
Okay, so what are some other invasive species in our lives as Christians? Well,
the first one that comes to my mind, and it's a big one, I would imagine that peer pressure. That peer pressure is an invasive species within our life.
Okay.
And peer pressure is, defined verbatim as, the pressuring by other people for you to do something that you don't want to do, or just do something that goes against your beliefs, or do something that goes against your values.
Okay, so...
But because other people want you to do this, you end up doing it.
And, we could point out that...
Sounds a lot like temptation to me.
Yes, that is true. We could point out that sometimes peer pressure does produce positive things, but we're speaking of it primarily in the negative sense.
Right.
So, you have this peer pressure. Okay, so how does that invade?
How does it invade your life?
Yes.
Well, if you go against your convictions, if you go against your beliefs, then it becomes easier to go against your convictions and your beliefs, and then it kind of has almost a domino effect.
A snowball effect.
And then once you get going, you can't stop. And I know that's kind of an extreme example, but it does happen, and it can happen. And it may not even be big things in your life. It could start small, and those small things could lead to big things.
Yes.
You never know.
Yes. And in that sense, the more it invades, the more it's going to invade.
With it. Yeah. You lose a point though.
I'm good with
you
that.
You lose a mark.
That was really a dumb statement, but yeah. So yeah, we've got peer pressure.
I've got another one too. And you go ahead and then I'll go.
Okay.
Because I can see you've got one.
Well, it goes back to the one that you mentioned for me a while ago.
Okay.
Yawning. Yawning is contagious.
I did steal your thunder. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It is something that is contagious. You know what? I saw a Mythbusters one time that they actually tried to test to determine whether or not it's contagious. Whether yawning is contagious or not really doesn't matter because we think it is.
And if we think it is, it is.
In this case, I'm going to say perception is reality. Mm-hmm. If you yawned right now, I guarantee you it wouldn't be 5 minutes before I was yawning.
Right.
But I can't remember what the results were on that episode of Mythbusters. Goodness, that's probably been, yeah, that was a fake yawn. It's a good try, though. So, yawning.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about spiritual things.
Okay.
Are there some who are spiritually asleep?
Yes, they are. That is called apathy.
And how does that affect everyone else?
Well, apathy is a thing that can infect a congregation. I mean, if you see one person that's apathetic, and you know, you kind of believe that, you know, well, maybe he's right, maybe she's right. It doesn't, you know, you start to think about why they're apathetic, and then it can become something that becomes an invasive species within your church. Everybody can become apathetic.
And that's one of those things that is very difficult to overcome.
Right.
How would you define apathy?
To me, this is just kind of like a real world definition, but to me, apathy would be getting in a groove. That's apathy. What
kind of groove?
Like a groove of, you know, blah, you know, I go to church every morning, you know, I park in the same parking place, I sit in the same pew, I do the same things every single day.
That describes 95% of the population. Right. Maybe 98% of the population.
But the difference between that is you let those things make you indifferent to God's message, indifferent to the gospel.
Indifferent.
You don't care.
You don't care. That is apathy. You hit it right on the head there. Mm-hmm. You don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about apathy, of course, the overall picture of what we're discussing is how these things spread from one person to another.
Right.
But if you have apathy in your life and it you know, there's one aspect of your Christianity, because this is, let's talk about Christianity.
You
have one aspect of your Christianity to which you are apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to spread to other areas as well.
It will.
Mm-hmm. And whether it is your worship, since you mentioned that one a moment ago, and you develop an attitude of apathy toward your worship, that may be the songs that you are singing, or the prayers that you are praying, or
the table,
the Lord's Supper, or your giving, or you know,
whatever
any of those. It's probably going to have an effect on other aspects of your Christianity. You know, I'm always amazed, and I don't know how many times I've studied this before, but the number of times that good works are mentioned in the New Testament. And, you know, when we think of those good works, it's easy to become apathetic toward mm-hmm. those things. But that is part of the fruit that we are to be producing as Christians. We are to be actively right. engaged in good works. That's part of why God has selected us and called us to be His people, is mm-hmm. to be a people of good works.
Amen.
Not, you know, we're making a joke about keeping score, you know, on using big words this
right.
episode, but
we're tied now 1-1, by the way.
The whole point that I'm making is, you know, God's not wanting us to make a checklist or
right.
or keep a tally of the good works that we are doing, but having said that, what good works are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
That apathy will snowball.
It will snowball.
There is mm-hmm. no doubt about that.
Invasive species in any part of your spiritual life will snowball.
And when we talk about those who are spiritually asleep,
mm-hmm.
Now this morning, and you know, this will tell you that we're recording this on Wednesday, you know,
right.
but this morning we ended up with a 1 hour delay at the county schools.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went in and told my daughters that there was a 1 hour delay, what did they do? They went back to sleep.
Yeah, because they probably didn't stand up and cheer. They probably just rolled back over.
Yeah, they rolled over and they went back to sleep. And they're like, oh, resetting the alarm for, you know, an hour later. And and they went back to sleep. Why? Because the time to get up and get busy for them, they knew it was still an hour away. That was a real yawn.
That was a real yawn.
It's not going to work on me, mister.
It's going to hit you in about 3 minutes.
No, it's not. Not this morning. Anyway. I've drank way too much coffee this morning. But when we know that we still have time, when we know what's wrong with sleeping, I'm talking about physically.
I get where you're going with this, though.
Spiritually, though, we don't have that timeline.
Right.
Spiritually, we do not have an alarm set saying you are going to have to get up and get busy spiritually at this appointed hour or on this particular day or, you know. Spiritually, we are to be awake.
Right.
Now.
Well, and some people use the excuse, you know, well, I'm only 21. I'm only 22. I've got a long time left. And, you know, I can wait till I'm older to be spiritual. I can wait till I'm older to become a Christian. I can wait till I'm older to live in Christ.
By the way, LTAC shout out to you. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
But anyway, sorry.
Anyway, you know, I'm a young age. You know, I've got a lot of time left. I've got a lot of things I need to do. And some of those things I can't be a Christian and do. And people take that attitude, but really, we don't know how much time we got left. You know, you could get, and God forbid, but you could get and die the next day. You know, you could get in a car wreck or something could happen and you could pass away. You don't know.
Romans 13 and verses 11 and 12. And do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed.
Mm-hmm.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Sometimes I think we let temporary things keep our mind off of a permanent goal. And how much sense does that make? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It never has.
Really? Really?
Really.
So you're saying you don't procrastinate?
Oh, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I procrastinate homework hard. I mean hard. Wrote a 13-page paper in 5 hours. But anyway, my point is we just, you know, we put things off for temporary things. We want to experience temporary things that risk the permanent goal. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, as in if I'm talking about spirituality and Christianity and things of that sort. Because at the end of the day, those things are temporary. They're not going to last forever. They're not going to be there forever. And permanent things will.
See, we could put procrastination in here as an invasive species as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things in life that we love to procrastinate about.
We do.
We love to procrastinate.
Homework. And,
I talked to a mechanic this morning. Mm-hmm. It was kind of funny because he was talking about, you know, and he's a mechanic. He works on cars. That's that's what he does for a living.
Right.
And he's going, yeah, two of my vehicles need oil changes. You know, they're 1,000 miles overdue. And got up this morning, my wife's car wouldn't start. And you know, and this
and
that.
And he's a mechanic.
And he's a mechanic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was laughing about it, and I was laughing about it too. You know, that's not meant to be criticism of him at all.
It's just how it is.
But, you know, some things we love to procrastinate about. And even the things we know to be important, we procrastinate about those things, and you know it could go back to the I think we talked a little bit about Christmas shopping a couple of months ago, and you know
I know it's coming. I wait till like Christmas Eve.
We know it's coming.
When the stores are closing.
But, you know, we procrastinate anyway.
And we're going to continue to procrastinate.
Day of Judgment, we know it's coming.
Right.
But why procrastinate?
Right.
We cannot procrastinate about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's way, way, way too important. But
last invasive species, and I know you don't believe me, but sneezing is contagious. Sneezing is contagious, Keith.
I don't believe you.
Somebody sneezes on you, you're going to start sneezing because you're going to be sick.
That's not the same.
It is the same thing. I'm telling you right now. Yep, happens.
Okay.
It's a real thing. It's a real medical condition with medicine and everything.
It's a symptom of a greater illness is the way you're describing it.
Anyway, last invasive species, and I've been talking about this a lot lately. I even wrote a blog about it recently. I think fear is an invasive species. Now, let me explain this real quick.
I'll go with that.
Fear is something that holds you back spiritually. If we're speaking in a Christianity sense about fear, it's something that holds you back spiritually. You mm-hmm. know, and fear encompasses so many things. It can encompass loneliness. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like to be lonely. And Christianity and living for your faith, you might experience loneliness because you might be the only person who's following that path.
Yes.
Failure. People don't fear. Fear holds people back spiritually because of failure. Failure. What are you holding three fingers up?
Because you've mentioned two things.
Oh, okay.
And I had a third.
Failure. People don't like to fail at things. And I feel like sometimes people are afraid they're going to fail at their Christianity.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I feel like people are afraid to fail at their Christianity. I feel like people feel like they're going to fail at their Christianity because of the way that they've lived their life and the change that being a Christian encompasses. They don't think that they can experience that change.
Well, how many times in life does fear of failure prevent us from doing anything at all?
It does.
It really does.
Because nobody likes to fail at anything.
And sometimes we are so afraid that we're going to fail that we never make the attempt to whatever it is. And if that is happening to you as a Christian, you know, you cannot fail.
Right.
You cannot allow yourself to fail. The alternative is unthinkable.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to...
And you've got a lot of bounce there for a fall, too. You've got forgiveness. You can always be forgiven if you repent. You can always be forgiven for things that you've done.
Yes.
And, you know, and there's just a lot of bounce there that people don't really, they don't think about. They think, well, you know, if I fail, I'm done.
Right.
There's no going back. You can't go back. You failed, you're done.
Yes.
But another one, I think, and my last one, Keith... You're the last
one. What if I... Oh, I have the last one.
Yeah, you're the last one.
Oh, I thought you had another one.
No, I don't have any more.
You're done?
Well, I've got ridicule on here, but...
Ridicule?
Ridicule.
That's a pretty good one. It's not that far off from what I was going to say. I was going to say rejection.
Oh, that's a big one.
Fear of rejection.
People are afraid to be rejected.
Nobody likes to be rejected.
No.
It's like, you know, you go up for that layup against the defender,
and that defender sends it three rows into the stands.
Yeah,
and you're going face palm.
Yeah, you know, when somebody my height goes up for a layup against somebody that is you know 6'6",
there's no shot there. It's just not gonna happen.
It'd be like me trying to. You know,
right.
Post on Craig. You know, and Craig would stand there flat-footed all day long.
Craig, if you're listening to this,
away.
If you're listening to this, I could take you in the paint.
Craig, if you're listening to this, I'm not getting anywhere near you,
right?
Because you know you would just swat the ball away and laugh. But you know, rejection,
mm-hmm.
fear of rejection. And that is one of the greatest reasons that people do not proclaim the gospel.
Oh, wow.
As has been commanded.
How can I make points like that with mine? That's a good point. I like that. That's a really good one.
It's true. It's true.
We could do an episode on fear, Keith.
Very, very easily we could do an episode on fear.
Maybe next week.
But perhaps.
Perhaps.
Anyway. But, you know. I just, well, in the very short minute and 45 seconds that we have remaining, let me say this relative to fear. And then we need to tie it all back into invasive right. species and make it into a nice little bow. And,
in a minute and 38 seconds.
Let me say this. When we began this program, I don't know that there was a fear of failure. I think there was a fear of, I don't know where this is going to go.
Right.
And you know, now we're kind of over that hump, I suppose. Oh, yeah. But, you know, how many times have we not done something because of fear? Something that needed to be done. And as we are labeling fear as an invasive species, you know, we pretty much talked about individual, but yes, fear will spread.
It will. Wherever fear thrives, it stays.
I've got, well, I'm not going to use that example.
We'll throw this out real quick. There's an article on our website, and let's talk about Christianity.com. called The Existence of Fear. That's where this whole thing came from. Yes. So if they want to read it, they can get on this.
Let's talk about Christianity.com. Mm-hmm. That's where the blog posts are.
Got some good stuff on there.
Yes, and then most of it's yours right now because I've not.
That's okay.
I've not had time to do much writing.
Got a lot of time on my hands, Keith.
But go to the website, check it out, and
don't let invasive species invade your Christianity.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good tagline.
You're welcome.
See, I didn't think of that tagline.
But, I did. I've not been able to think of a lot of things today.
But
my points haven't tied together.
That's a great way to end the program. So
see ya.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.